faith.
Love God. Lift other God.
Welcome to Elevate Life Church. Now, sit back, relax, and enjoy another elevated message. Here's Senior Pastor Sergio Limone.
Genesis chapter 11, 1 through 4. You guys ready? I got something for you today, and it's just something that's in my spirit. We're going to talk about building an altar. Building an altar. Genesis 11, 1 through 4 is the story of the Tower of Babel. Let's look at this. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the earth." Now, Father, I just pray that you take this word today and plant this in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This is an interesting story to me because the Tower of Babel, there's been much preached about it and taught on it. It's an interesting story. There's so many incredible keys in this story here. And this just takes place right after the flood, right after Noah and his family were saved and the whole earth was destroyed through a flood. Not many chapters after that, this story begins to take place. And this story is about a people, right, that had maybe some good that they wanted to do, but with wrong motives. Come on, how many know it's not just about what you're doing? The Bible has taught us over and over again that God looks at the heart. It's not just about, you know, what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. Come on, are you with me this morning? There's a lot of people that'll go out and do good deeds simply to post it on the gram. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. So that's the only reason they're doing it, is to put stuff out there so that their name can be lifted up. Listen, there's pastors, there's ministers that are doing great things for the wrong motive. And I've met some of them. I won't say their names. Because you know why? There was a time in my life when probably that could have been said about me. Oh yeah, I'm just keeping it 100 with you. And this people here was all about doing good. I find that this generation of millennials, they love to do good. But God looks beyond just what we're doing. And he also wants to look at our motives. And this people here in the book of Genesis, They had a good motive. What was their motive? They wanted to reach heaven. Come on, how many want to reach heaven? Amen? I'm not talking about going to heaven, but we sing about it all the time. Let heaven touch the earth. See, that seems like a good motive, that we're gonna build something here to where we can access heaven. We can touch heaven. I believe this speaks of a lot of Christians many times that want to touch heaven, but for wrong motives. Do you know you can come to church, which is a gateway to heaven, with wrong motives? You can study that Bible to try to touch heaven with some wrong motives? That's a scary thought. There's a lot of people out there, I think, that are operating out of this. That's why I want to look at this story here. So these people have a good motive. They have good works they want to do, but with a wrong motive. There's also some things that I want to point out in that verse of scripture there, verse 1 through 4. And that is the place where they settled in. It says here that they found a plain in a place called Shinar. That place, Shinar, is where we get Babylon in the Bible. It's the place called Babylon, where Babylon is representative, catch this now, of the world system. In other words, the way the world does things. The way the world does things, the motive of how the world builds is self. Now, we've got to be aware of this, because some of us are trying to build marriages the world's way. In other words, we get married and it's all about you. We have kids and we start families the world's way, and your family is all about you. We start businesses and we start making money, and everything we're touching and everything we're doing is about me. Let me tell you something right now. That's doing things the world's way. That is what Babylon was all about. It was a society that was built on self. And even the gods that they served, they served with selfish motives. And I got to ask you today, how are you building your life? Are you building your life the world's way? You're going to build your family the world's way? You're going to raise your kids the world's way? Why do you think there's so much strife in families today? It's because people don't understand that there's a better way. And that better way, Jesus said, if you want to find life, you got to lose it. Oh, come on, somebody. If you want to find life, then you got to lose your life. You got to die to self. There's a whole nother way of doing things. But in this story, they were building, and it was all about them. Then the next thing it points out in the scriptures here is it points out that as they began to build this tower, or what I'm going to compare it to is an altar. It was a type of an altar. Why? Because an altar is always where heaven came down into the earth. It was at an altar that Elisha called down fire from heaven. Altars are important, and this tower was similar to an altar. And here's what it says. They says they started to build this tower or this altar using bricks instead of stone. This is also what you got to catch here. That's also a way that the world builds. But you got to understand this. God doesn't build with bricks. God builds with stones. That's why Genesis takes the time to show the difference. Stones are representative of life, you and I. I'll prove it to you in the scriptures. But what is a brick symbolic of in the scriptures? Well, a brick is symbolic of being man-made or faulty, imperfect. And so as they're building their altar, they're not building it God's way. They're building it with bricks on a faulty foundation. And folks, can I just tell you, there's a lot of Christians that are building their Christian life. Some of us are in this building today. And this is why you're here, because God wants you to change this. Your whole Christian existence is built on a faulty altar. Christianity is all about you, all about your blessings, all about God, do this for me. God, give me this. God, heal me. God, give me. My name is Jimmy. No offense, Jimmy Jam. Amen. You know what I'm saying? It's this mentality, and I'm just going to tell you, it's faulty. It's what Babylon builds on. Now, God wants you to be blessed. There is an aspect of your life getting better, your life being elevated, your dreams coming true. There's an aspect of things happening, God giving you the desires of your heart. But we don't build this thing on that. Because there's going to come a day, catch me now, there's going to come a day when you're going to ask for something and the answer may be no. You going to stop serving God? You will if you built on a faulty altar. We see it all the time. Well, I thought I would have this by now. God didn't come through for me, so I'm going to the world. Yeah, you just built on a faulty altar, didn't you? You built this thing on you. And if you've served God at any point, you got to understand this. It's not about me. It's about Him. Amen? Tell your neighbor, it's not about me. Come on, tell him. Amen? So how does God build? Amen? How does God build altars? This is what I want you to catch. Look at Exodus chapter 20, 22 through 25. This is how God builds. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites this, you have seen for yourselves that I have spoken to you from heaven. Do not make any gods to be alongside of me. Do not make for yourselves gods of silver or gods of gold. Make an altar of earth for me and sacrifice on it burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, your sheep and goats and your cattle. Wherever I cause my name to be honored, I will come to you and bless you. Here's what it says. And if you make an altar of stones for me, do not build it with dressed stones or with bricks, for you will defile it if you use a tool on it. So God gives instructions on how He wants altars to be built. Not on a faulty foundation, but on stone. And we know that the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, 4, and 5, it says, as you come to Him, the living stone, Jesus, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also are like living stones being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We build God a spiritual altar. You want to know with what? Not with bricks, not with things you can produce, but with ourselves. Putting ourselves on the altar. Jesus is known as the chief cornerstone. He is our altar in the New Testament. Can I get an amen on that? So God builds with stones, but the world builds on a faulty foundation. Business owners, I want to encourage you in here. If you are a business owner or you run a business, don't build it on just wealth. Don't just build it on your goals and your dreams and things that you... Because they'll tell you that. Self-help people, it's all about your goals, all about your dreams. No, listen, we're moving beyond Babylon system. And we're moving on building according to the Word of God. And that is building on the rock of Jesus Christ. Building and stewarding that if God gives you a business, catch this, it ain't yours. If He gives you something, if He gives you wealth, if He gives you a position with the state, if He gives you anything that you desire, you've got to first approach Him by saying, God, this position you've given me, it's yours. This wealth you've given me, it's yours. But see, there's some Christians, they build on bricks, and it's all about you. Let's keep reading. It also says in that Genesis 11, 1 through 4, again, let's reach heaven. Let's reach heaven. See, the desires are good, and a lot of us want godly things. We want a good end. But here's the problem with what they were trying to do. They were trying to reach heaven without a godly process. They were trying to skip out on the process of God, which is obedience to God, and they were just trying to get the blessings. My God, if we haven't seen this in American church in the last 20 years. Where even from our pulpits, it's just about bless me clubs. It's just about getting a blessing and how to be better and how to be this. And there's nothing wrong with those things. We need blessings. We need to get better. But we've got to build on the foundation that says with everything that I'm going after, there's a process involved. And that process is obedience. I said it earlier, some of us that want to get married, but you don't want to go through the process of breaking to prepare you for God's best. And so instead, you just get an app. Nothing wrong with apps. Do what you got to do. Amen. Tell your neighbor, do what you got to do. But there's a process. And part of that process is, can you live holy single? Can you stay out of somebody else's bed single? Because if you can't, you won't be able to do it married. Tell your neighbor, ouch, ouch, ouch. But we don't want God's process. We just want his blessing. We want to touch heaven without the process. And that was the problem with these folks here at the Tower of Babel. Are you tracking with this today? And the last thing it talks about in that scripture, that their motive was this: let's make a name for ourselves. Guys, we got to crucify wrong motives in our lives. Even as I stand up here as a pastor and I preach to you, man, God, the motive can never be, look at me, look at me. Look how great I am. Look how good I preach. There's always having to crucify motives in our lives and making sure that God gets this glory. And now we live in a social media age where every time somebody just gets a small W, a small win, we got to post it on Facebook. Oh, come on, somebody. Anytime we just do something a little good, we got to post it on Facebook. I saw a father saying, yeah, doing the dad thing, feeding my kids. I said, fool, that's what you're supposed to do. That don't get a post. Dad was all at McDonald's, taking care of my kids, feeding them. You don't get a post for that. Come on, how many know it's true? It's true. It's true. We're celebrating every. You don't get a post for feeding your. Guess what you're supposed to do? Taking my kids shopping. Do being a dad. No, that's what you're supposed to do. Make sure they got clothes. You don't get points for that. You had them, feed them. I ain't clapping for you. That's what you're supposed to do. Amen. But today, oh, ooh. That's amazing. You're an amazing father. Not really. Not really. Ooh, I can't wait to get into this family thing. You can see it's kind of bleeding in me. It's just coming out on y'all right now. Because we got to fix this stuff for our kids. We got to quit celebrating little things and start really championing a father that is home every night, that goes to counseling to save his marriage. Let's post about that. Just got out of counseling. I'm fighting for my... I will give you 5 stars. I will share your post. Y'all just pulling this out of me today. Amen. But our motives, guys, our motives matter with what we're building our life on. And we always got to do a check on this. Why are you doing what you're doing? So that your name can be great? Why do you want to have money? So you could floss? And you're asking God to bless your business and you don't even tithe off your business? You're asking God to help you in your marriage and God is nowhere in your marriage. But your God, help me. Why? See, we got to get our motives right. Why do you want a wife, single guys? So you could floss, so you could up your status? Wrong motives. And here's the problem with wrong motives. Later on in the story, God comes and he sees what they're doing. And he says this, we got to stop this. He says to the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, they say to each other, we got to go down there and we got to keep this from happening. He says, because if we don't, they're going to reach heaven with wrong motives. That's what always amazed me, is that the Godhead says they can do it. They're all in one accord. They can do it. So what does God do? Catch this now. God begins to oppose their goals. Some of us in this room, You're praying for stuff that God's opposing. You keep, oh, God, bless my business, God. He's opposing it. You know why? He's waiting for you to get that motive right. That's why you're here today. Because God wants to bless the business more than you want it to be blessed. If you could see the plan that God has for it, but you won't listen to nobody. Because it's all about you. So guess what will happen? The same thing will happen that happened here in Genesis 11. God's got to come down and say, no, we can't let this thing go forward. Because they'll never find me if I give them what they want. They'll never find me. If I just keep blessing them and blessing them and blessing them, they'll end up on a road to hell. So when we read this story here, guys, motives matter. Motives matter. Why do you want to be what your next level is? Why do you want a house so bad? Some of you, it's like an idol. I just got to get a better house. Why? So that you could just be like, yeah, so you could show off to all your cousins. All your primos, hey, look at our house, hey. We're blessed. Really? Really? Get your motives right. Get your motives right. Get your motives right. Why do you want anything from God? Here should be at the center of all of our motives. So, God, that I might give you glory. That I might give you glory. That my house, my car, my job, it's all yours, and I may steward it the way you want me to steward it. If you want me to give something, I give it. If you want me to bring somebody in my home, I bring them into my home. Because it's your home, it's not my home. And here's what always happens. Oh, I'm not like that. How many ever met the I'm not like that people? There's nothing ever wrong with them. Why? Because we deceive ourselves. And this is why we need tests. People always complain, is God testing me? Is God testing me? God, there are tests in our lives. You want to know what tests are for? So you could see what's really going on. Because if you just believe your own hype, you start thinking everything's perfect in your life and it's really not. So we need sometimes to be able to see where our motives are. So this is why I want to talk to you about altars today. Because an altar is becoming a place that Christians are missing in their home. And it's the most important place. You know, we just got through the Halloween season. And, you know, I talked about that on a Bible study, where our stance is with that. We don't celebrate Halloween and stuff. But even the other side of Halloween is Dia de los Muertos. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, I always got to pick on this thing, because before you're Mexican, you're Christian. I didn't get no amens from some of the brown folks in the back there. Some of the Caucasian folks, amen, say that. But some of the brown folks are like, I don't know about that one, Pastor, I don't know. I know it's cultural for Mexican families to have an altar in their home for their ancestors that have passed on. But it is offensive to our God to make an altar to anything else except Him. Do we honor? Go ahead and clap for that one. That was a good word right there. Helping somebody. Do we honor our ancestors? Absolutely. But you know how I honor my mom that passed away a few years ago? By living for God. I'd be dishonoring her if I put up an altar in my house to her. She'd come down and slap me in my sleep probably. Boy, I raised you better than that. Are you tracking with me today? But see, culturally, in culture, we want to stick culturally to some things, but you're a Christian before you're anything else. And we don't build altars to those that have gone before us. We need to build altars to Jesus. Because the altar is the place of power. The altar is the place that if we build it properly, it's the place of blessing. Understand this. I want you to write this down today. Whatever you're building for God always starts with an altar. You're trying to build a good marriage, it starts with an altar. You're trying to build a good family, it starts with an altar. And immediately, I know as I talk about altars, we go back to, some of us go back to our background of, you know, our altars in our house to the saints and all that. I'm not talking about an altar with things. I'm talking about spiritual altars in our heart. Let me show you Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3. We're talking about God building with altars. We're going to read about Abraham right now. Abraham was the first man that God began to cut covenant with. The Bible says that Abraham built 7 altars unto the Lord. Look what it says here. And the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your offspring, I will give this land. And here's what Abram does. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. See, building an altar is a place of honor. It's a place of our first response when God blesses you. And we have a blessing in the new covenant, but yet people will take the blessing and not build God an altar. We get saved. Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. He's our ultimate blessing. And when Jesus comes into our life, he takes away the shame of our sin. No longer do we need to be afraid of God. He takes away the stain of our mistakes. He gives us grace. But our response should be building him an altar. You know what American Christianity has done? They take salvation and they keep on sinning. Remember, Jesus told the woman, he said, be healed. Remember, they were going to stone her? They were going to, I'm not talking about give her weed and stone her. They were going to throw rocks at her. Got to be clear right now in the 916, amen? And they were going to stone her. And Jesus said, he has no sin, cast the first stone. And then he tells her, he says, be healed, go your way. Your sins are forgiven. He says, go your way. But he doesn't stop there. See, American Christianity will have you thinking, oh, he said, just go your way. He says, go your way and sin no more. Tell your neighbor, sin no more. You know what that is? You know what that's symbolic of? Building Jesus an altar. Taking the blessing of being forgiven, and now I'm not going to sin no more. God, I offer that to you. When I came to Jesus Christ and I started living for him, I had to put some stuff on the altar. There were things I liked doing. Come on, somebody. There were things you liked doing. Oh, come on. Don't look at me like that. There were things you loved doing. Oh, hallelujah. But when we got saved and God pronounces a blessing, your sins are forgiven, you're in the family of God, you're free, now things got to go on the altar. We got to put things that we used to like to do on the altar. Maybe it's drug use. Maybe it's getting drunk at the Raider games. Come on, somebody. Maybe it's sleeping around. We got to put that on the altar. Are you guys tracking with me? Because this is the proper response to a blessing. And this is a proper response to people who are truly in covenant with God. So I got to tell you this, because some of you think you're in covenant, but you haven't done your part. Your part is not saying yes to grace. Your part is now building an altar. And on that altar, guess what ultimately should be on that altar? Your old life. The old you, the person you used to be with all that attitude. Come on, somebody. With all that bad language, with all them bad habits, that mean person should be on that altar. That bitter person should be on that altar, because that's the proper response to a blessing. And Abraham proves that time and time again. Read the book of Genesis. He built over 7 altars. Every time God would show up and bless him, he'd build an altar. want you to write this down. An altar is a place of honor. It's a place of sacrifice as a response to God's goodness. It's a place of sacrifice. And we sacrifice because God is so good. Can I tell you something? Church is an altar place. This is the place where we all sacrifice to be here. Now, for some, the sacrifice is small to begin with, right? You remember when you first started coming to church? The best sacrifice you could give God was to just be here. Y'all remember them days? You know, some of you are way beyond that, but some of you might still be there. You know, the alarm goes off on Sunday and you're just like, dang, this feels real, especially with the fog and the cold weather, the time change. And it seems like, it's like, you're just like, oh, this feels so good. I don't want to get out of bed. I will just watch it online. I'm talking to somebody watching online today. And that's the level of our sacrifice, right? That's the level that we begin with. That's the level that we're at where we just offer God that. But there comes a time where that's not even a sacrifice no more. Now we got to come to church and we got to give tithes and offerings. Now that's a sacrifice. Now we got to get involved. We got to sign up. And there might be some Sundays where we're serving and we got to get here a half hour before church starts. And those are places of sacrifice because this is an altar. And if your church experience, catch this now. You got to catch this today. I'm saving somebody from the pits of hell today. If your church experience doesn't require sacrifice, you don't get what sacrifice brings, which is blessing. And pastors have done people a disservice by making everything about our worship experience sacrificeless. It's just all about come, sit in comfortable chairs, sit in a room with heating and air, take the word and go. And we'll do it all in less than 60 minutes. And people love that. Oh, they love that kind of thing. But the problem is, if the priests, if the pastors, if the fivefold ministries don't teach you that there's power in sacrifice, your life never changes. And now you go to church, but you've never laid your old life on the altar. So your marriage is just as jacked up as it was before you started coming to church. Your kids are just as crazy before you started coming to church. Your finances are just as messed up. Are you tracking with me? Nothing changes without sacrifice. And sacrifice takes place at the altar. Are you catching this today? Let me keep going here. I'm trying to help somebody. Tell your neighbor he's trying to help you. All right. Let me read to you right here in Genesis chapter 13. All right. It says this: the Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, look around from where you are to the north, the south, the east, and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So he's pronouncing a blessing so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring would be counted. He's also talking about all of us. This is your great, great, great abuelo, Abram, right here. Okay, y'all didn't know you had Hebraic roots. You do. It says here, go walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I'm giving it to you. So once again, Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre of Hebron, where he pitched his tents, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Guys, are there altars in your life? Does your marriage have an altar? Does your family have an altar? We got to get the altar back in our life. Because without an altar, we don't have covenant with God. It's the proper response when God is saying, I'm going to bless you. You know how most people act right now in 2021? We just thank you, God, for the blessing, and we go our way. And we offer no sacrifice. We offer nothing upon the altar. We live the same lives that we did before God pronounces the blessing. And Abram shows us here that that's not the way to do it. We must respond with an altar. Let's look at Genesis chapter 26. Abram's son Isaac finds himself in a similar predicament. It says here, that night the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you, pronouncing a blessing. I will bless you, increasing the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. Are you seeing that? See, there's something happening when God blesses you. Your response is to build him an altar. And again, I'm not talking about a natural altar. I could see some of the hermanas in here getting, I'm going to go home and I'm going to light some candles and I'm going to put a Jesus picture. And no. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about building an altar in your heart. Because what altars represent is time with God in prayer. In prayer. Do you have a prayer life? If you don't have a prayer life, let me just help you. You don't have an altar. If you're a prayerless Christian, you're living this thing without an altar in your life. So Isaac responds the same way. Let me give you some things an altar speaks of. An altar speaks of sacrifice. Without a prayer life, there's no sacrifice unto your God. Build an altar. What does sacrifice deal with? You know why we need sacrifice in our life? Because sacrifice teaches me it's not all about me. Without sacrifice, I could believe my own hype. Without sacrifice, I can make an idol out of me, my ministry, my business, my gifts, my desires. It's all about me. Now, really, God is not my God. I'm serving the God of self. But you know what sacrifice does? It puts me in check. Sacrifice puts me in check. The days that I get up and I pray when I don't feel like praying. The days I get up and I come to the church and we pray in the spirit here to start our day and I don't feel like doing it, it puts me in check and it says it don't matter how I feel. This is my offering unto my God that I give him a little bit of time. And people say, oh, Pastor, I'm just too busy to pray. Then you're too busy and you don't realize without prayer, you're sacrificing prayer to the God of self. Let me say that again. So people that don't pray are still sacrificing. But now they're sacrificing prayer that should be God's time. You're sacrificing that and offering up to yourself. And so prayerlessness is still an altar, but it's a demonic altar. And what goes on that altar is everything that's God's. Some people say, oh, well, Pastor, I can't afford to tithe, man. I just can't. No, listen, catch this today. You can't afford not to tithe. Because somebody that is not giving to God is giving to themselves. So when you won't give God prayer time, guess what you're doing? You're sacrificing prayer time for yourself. You're sacrificing God's offerings to yourself. And guess who's in charge of your life? Self. Years ago, a man named Anton LaVey got possessed by a spirit and he wrote the Satanic Bible. And in the Satanic Bible, there's only one commandment. They don't got 10 commandments. The one commandment is this: do what you want. See, the motive of Satan is not for you to worship him. The motive of Satan is to get you to worship you. And guess what kills that in our lives? Sacrifice. Sacrifice is not a bad thing. It's a blessing. Sacrifice deals with idolatry. You want to know what else sacrifice deals with? Demonic deception. The devil has so many Christians deceived. You think you're a Christian because you sit in this room once a week? You think you're a Christian because of where you are on a Sunday morning? See, we get deceived like that, and we think we're good, we're good. But you know what? Sacrifice will deal with deception. When you're able to be able to sacrifice to God, it's a test. It's a test. It's the test to tell you where your heart really is. And when sacrifice comes and you don't rise to the challenge, you have just picked a side. And many times people pick the wrong side. Sacrifice is a part of our life. That's why Jesus said, pick up your cross and follow me. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. So guess what? This Christian walk that you want, this blessing that we all want, there's some sacrifice involved. But that's not a place where you go, oh, dang. That's a place where we go, I'm ready, God. Yes. What do I got to do? Because can I help you with something today? There is sacrifice involved in everything. Some of you have sacrificed your kids for a drug addiction. Some of us have sacrificed our marriages because we can't stop drinking. Some of us have sacrificed our families because we work too much. So there's sacrifice in everything. So don't start crying about God's sacrifices. Here's the difference. God's sacrifices will produce something great in your life. Come on, give God some praise for that. The altar also speaks about cleansing. This is why we need an altar. We need a prayer life in our lives because it's the place of cleansing. See, the altar was where they would sacrifice offerings unto the Lord for the cleansing of their sins. Now, Jesus is our ultimate sacrifice. He cleanses us. But in prayer is where we're able to go before God every day and make sure to use 916 vernacular. God, are we straight? How many know what I'm talking about? My prayer time is where I go before God every day and be like, God, are we good? We good? I know we're good because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I know the blood covers my sin. But God, is there anything I'm doing? Is there a way I'm thinking that is hindering the blessing from flowing in my life? That's what prayer time does. And this is also why some people don't pray. Because we don't want to hear it. We ain't trying to hear that. We're trying to do our thing. Listen, when you spend time with God, he'll tell you, hey, this needs to change. Hey, this is something right here that is hindering me from moving. Hey, I know you want this business to take off, but what about this? And this is what people without an altar don't want to hear. And so we cry out, we pray for blessings that God is waiting for us to build an altar so he could tell you why it's not coming. He wants to tell you why it's not coming. And an altar speaks of a place of cleansing. It's where you deal with hindrances to your blessing. We love to just pray, God, give me this, fix this, help my marriage, help my kids. And God's going, okay, my turn. I'm going to give you all that. I already told you, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. I've already told you that, but we need to talk about this attitude that you got. We need to talk about this idol that is in your life. And we should never fear those conversations. See, this is the problem with a generation that has grown up without fathers. We think those conversations are bad conversations. When really, it's those conversations that could change everything for the better. Because it's those conversations where God gives keys to blessings. The conversations you don't want to have are the conversations you need to have. Somebody needs to write that down. The altar is a place of cleansing. Are you tracking this? The altar is also a place where cleansing happens and it strengthens your obedience. Listen, if I don't spend time with God every day, it's easy to give up. It's easy to give up. It's easy to say, man, why am I even doing this? It's easy to just grow tired. It's easy to give in to those things, but time at the altar strengthens you. Is this helping anybody today? So we got to have an altar because that's where sacrifice takes place. It's where cleansing takes place. And the third thing is this, it's where worship takes place. Worship is not a Sunday morning thing, y'all. Worship is not something we do here when the band's playing. Worship needs to be a time in your house, in your everyday life, where you can give God thanks for what he has done and what he is doing. That's what worship is. Which should bubble up in your heart as you saying, God, thank you for my kids. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not in jail. Come on, somebody. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't get what I deserved. Thank you, Lord. It's a place of worshiping him. It's a place of, and that needs to be a part of your altar experience every day. But we have Christians, they don't worship God every day. They only worship him in the gathering time. But the altar speaks of worship. It's where we deal with our heart. And here's the biggest thing. This is why you need to have an altar in your life. This is why you need to have a prayer time. Because that time of prayer can change your focus. We got so many Christians that are focused on the wrong thing. And if you didn't get nothing else out of today, remember this. What you focus on grows. What you focus on grows. The war over your life every day is to get you to focus on the wrong thing. So we begin to focus on problems, sickness, pain. We begin to focus on our environment, on everything that's wrong. This is why we have depression. This is why we have anxiety. This is why we have all these things, because it's a sign we are focusing on the wrong things. Well, Pastor, what am I supposed to do? That's what is there. That's what my life is. You're supposed to pick your head up and focus on your God. Focus on him. If I can get you to focus on him, what do we say? What you focus on grows? He will grow in your life. And when he grows in your life, one of the first things that's going to have to go is that depression. When he grows in your life, that anxiety has to go. Oh, keep growing. When he's growing in your life, the sickness got to go. When he grows in your life, prosperity has to come. Because all those things I just named is who he is. He's the Prince of Peace. He's Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, the healer. And if I can get you to focus more on him than all this other garbage, your attitude will change. Peace will come into your life. You'll sleep better. You might even get off some of the medications. Tell your neighbor, but keep taking them for right now because you ain't there yet. Keep taking them. Keep taking them. Are you guys tracking with me? And guess where that happens? The altar, your prayer time. The last thing that the altar speaks of is the place of prayer. What is the place of prayer in your altar? It's the place, catch this now, where you build your future. Did you hear what I said? Where you build your future. Where you do it. Tell your neighbor, you do it. Oh, we love to pass the buck, don't we? We love to make somebody else do it. We love to blame God, too. Don't we love to do that? I talked about this on the Bible study on Thursday night. Oh, we just love to pass the buck. But let me tell you something. The buck stops with you. The future you're going to have depends on you. We love to blame God for our stuff right now, right? Well, I guess it just wasn't God's will. No, fool, you made some dumb decisions. I had somebody tell me this one time, too. Well, you know, I got to go to jail. I got to serve some time, but I guess God just wants me in jail. No, you did some crime. Don't blame God for your jail time. Are you tracking with me? We love to blame God for stuff. Oh, well, I guess this is, you know, it didn't work out. No, maybe you didn't listen to somebody's advice. Your business fails. Oh, I guess it just wasn't God's will. No, maybe God sent people to help you because you was not keeping the books right or because you really don't know how to run a business. But you didn't listen to them and now it's gone and you want to go, oh, well, I guess it just wasn't God's will. No, you made some decisions. So here's the thing, the place of prayer, the altar, is where we can build our future. Worship is about giving God thanks for what was and what is. But prayer is the place, come on, where we go before God. Let's look at James chapter 5, 16 in the Amplified Version. Look what James says here. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man or woman, come on somebody, is able to accomplish much. Now listen to this part. When put into action and made effective by God, it is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The future you want begins at the altar. Can you help me, Charles? The future that you're crying out to God for begins at the altar. The marriage you want begins at the altar. The family you want to have begins at the altar. The business, you go down the line. So let me ask you this. Why don't you have an altar? Let's answer this before I send you home. You don't have an altar because you have not made Jesus Lord of all. What is an altar? An altar is a prayer life. That's what it is. And we got to quit making excuses for why Christians do not pray. A Christian that does not pray is altarless. And without an altar, guys, I just broke that down to you. Without an altar, let me show you what happens without an altar. We see it in Genesis chapter 11. Real quick, you know what happens without an altar? Christians are confused. Without a prayer life, Christians are confused. They don't know the will of God. They don't know if they should do this. They don't know if they should do that. Without an altar, you'll have a spirit of rebellion. You know what rebellion, is? Bitterness, anger, mean-spirited, unforgiving. Why does it take you so long to get over some stuff? You know why? Because you're not free. And you want to know why? Because there's no altar in your life. Without an altar, there's frustration. Because God, it can't answer your requests without an altar of prayer. Where do I get these things from? Genesis chapter 11. God had to come down and stop the Tower of Babel. And you know how he did it? Confusion came over the people. He changed their languages. They were frustrated. And that is exactly how some of y'all's lives have been over the past 3 years. Angry, bitter, frustrated, confused. You don't even know what you believe. We got to fix this. We can fix this today by saying, God, I want to build an altar in my life. I want to build a prayer life. I want to build a life, Lord God, where every day I sit before you for 5, 10, 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it is. But it's my response to your blessing over my life. It's my response to you saying, I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm in the family of God. I have the name of Jesus. Whatever I put my hands to do will prosper. Therefore, Lord, I spend this time with you today. And at this altar, Lord God, let's make sure that we're good. At this altar, Lord God, let me draw strength so that I don't go back to my old life. Let me draw strength, Lord God, to forgive people that hurt me. But you got to have an altar. Let's stand on our feet this morning before I let you go. I sense it all over this room, so I'm going to need you to be real honest because God knows the truth anyway. And besides, we're not that church where you can't be yourself. We're not that church that has to hide our faults. How many know we're not that church? We're not that church. We're the church where we all need help. We're the church where we all know we ain't got it together. Amen? So we can be real here. So this morning, I want to open up the altars here so that we can ask the Lord to help us build altars in our life. If you're somebody that struggles with having a personal prayer time every day, where you're someone that, if you are just quite honest, sure you pray, but you don't have a prayer life, I want you to just slip up your hand right where you're at right now. Yeah, praise God, hands going up all over. I already know, that's good. Yeah, raise your hand high, don't you dare be ashamed. You know who should be ashamed is somebody that doesn't have a prayer life, but won't raise their hand right now. That's who should be ashamed. I see these hands all over this room. Go ahead and put your hand down. Now I want you to bow your head right now. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. And we're going to do our part here as a church in the weeks to come to help you build a prayer life. But Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for every person that just raised their hand in here today. Lord, we don't raise our hands to be condemned. We raise our hands because we recognize, Father, we need altars in our life. You've blessed us. And it's the proper response to every day giving you a moment, giving you a window of time to come and sacrifice our time, sacrifice our strength, our will, what we want to spend time with you, God. And as we do, Father, we thank you that cleansing takes place, strengthening takes place, worship takes place. As we build an altar of prayer in our lives, Lord God, our future will be built. You'll answer our prayers as we come to your altar.
Well, I hope you've been encouraged by the Word of God. And if you have, go ahead and subscribe to our podcast or download our free app at the App Store, and you can continue to get Word every week from Elevate Life Church.